It's just me and my fiddle and a bunch of different pedals. So here's an old rendition of a tune called that used to be called Cumberland Gap. Now I call it Gap Tooth.
You want to explain what your setup is and how you use it?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple pedal boards in front of me, and what it consists of is a part that basically amplifies my acoustic fiddle, and then that all feeds into a second board that has a lot of different types of ways to modify the sound of my instrument, and I can give you a little rundown on it if you're curious, and so kind of people, and this next tune I'll use a bunch of this stuff. So just to give you an idea, so the fiddle can, I've got a box that makes echoes and delays. Sort of the thing like that there. And I've got a box that makes my fiddle sound like a bass. Plucking the strings of the instrument, kind of like an upright. You know, I've got a bunch of reverb here that you can make kind of sound like a string section, or that at least nod that way. Or you can go ahead and take, I've got a harmonizer as well, which allows me to do things like play an octave along with it, or even harmonies. So there's your general little rundown of the basic things that I can, different boxes I have that can change the sound. So I suppose I'll just do a tune that people might recognize that will use a bunch of this stuff. So if you're listening along, maybe you can listen for some of those things that we just talked about, and make sure all my pedals, I refer to them as the band, make sure they're all ready, and I think they are. Let's see here. We'll find out. there's a couple different types of looping, and one is where you you prepare all the music, you know, and record it at home, and then you bring it in and you press play and you play along to it. Sometimes it's with a laptop, sometimes it's with a box, you know, pedal that stores it. But the way that I've been approaching it is I have a box that does record, but it doesn't save anything beyond whatever song I'm doing. So every time I power down, it all goes away, or every time I switch songs, it all goes away. And for me, that I find that it keeps me challenged, and you just you know, and it's live. It's everything is happening. You know, if you're while you're listening or while you're watching, it's kind of like a little dance that I'm doing. You know, pressing all these pedals, and I tell you, if you happen to be on a cruise and you're doing this, it's not the easiest, because when the boat moves, you move, and you know, if you happen to have your weight on one foot getting ready to press a pedal, you might come down at a completely different place. So you got to be careful on cruises while looping. It's dangerous.
How do you react to the label bluegrass being applied to you, and what do you think a bluegrass band is?
You know, when I started playing, it was as a bluegrass fiddle player, and I was pretty traditional about what I was learning. You know, learning Kenny Baker tunes, and I was going to bluegrass festivals with my family, and I really, you know, at my core is a bluegrass fiddle player. Is kind of how I see it. You know, there was a point in my development that I was introduced to jazz, and you know, I explored that for a long time, and then I've gotten interested in music from around the world. You know, and all those influences kind of come together for me, and I try and make them come together. I try and involve myself in any sort of music that I just feel is good. But at the core for me, you know, I still think of myself as a bluegrass fiddle player, and I still really love playing bluegrass. You know, I was hearing, I heard an interview with Wayne Shorter when they was asking him about jazz, and his kind of definition of jazz, if I remember correctly, was just about... it was about experimentation and taking chances. You know, he didn't define it by, you know, here's a set of years that defines what jazz actually is. It was more of a mental state and a creative state. And I think maybe bluegrass also is kind of coming to that, because there's been so many different facets and offshoots to it that it is kind of just it's an easier general term to use for stuff that is, you know, increasingly getting difficult to find categorization for. Sure, let's play another tune, and this one requires just a little bit of setup on my part. Just I got to hear a tempo that I'll be getting going here. So bear with me, and we listen to this tempo here. I think that'll do for today. Sometimes these things are moving targets. These pedals are, so it's kind of fun for that keeps it interesting for me. All right, this is a Tom Waits tune that I thought I'd do a rendition of. Sleep beneath a bridge. And one plays a violin and sleeps inside a fridge. Someone's crying in the woods. bones. Someone's burying all his clothes. Now slammed the crank from Weezer. Slept outside last night and froze. Roadkill has its seasons, just like everything. Now there's possums in the autumn, and there's farm cats in the spring. Or covet thy neighbor's wife, but for some, murder's the only door through which they enter life. They surrounded the house, they smoked him out and took him off in chains. The sky turned black and bruised, we had months of heavy rains. Now the raven is gonna nest in the rotted roof of Chenoweth's old place. And no one's asking Cal about that scar upon his face, cause there's nothing strange about an axe with blood stains in the barn. There's always some killing you got to do out on the farm.
How did this idea come about?
Yeah, you know what happened for me was that it was a practice tool for a long time. That it was just a way for me to sit around the house and play along with someone when there was nobody available or that I wanted to subject to whatever I was working on. And so I would just I would record a little bit of a bass line or some chord changes, and then I would practice over those. And then it kind of started turning it into a writing tool. And, you know, I would have a melody and I would record that melody and let it play over and over. And then I'd kind of work on chord changes to play over that. And things just kind of developed. It got a little more complex here and there. I'd look for some new sounds. But it really wasn't until Michael Jackson passed away and I was teaching at a fiddle camp. And news reached us there even that Michael Jackson died. And I had to do a faculty concert the following evening, so I thought a tribute might be a good thing to do. And and the Billie Jean, if you tuned in, I did it earlier if you were still listening, that Billie Jean tune was the first full piece that I arranged for myself. I went home that night and I listened to it and I learned all the different parts, the vocal harmonies, the bass part, the drum groove, and I had to figure out ways to play them all sequentially and basically get the idea of the song across in, you know, in one, you know, full pass, you know.
just as a, I mean, just as a performance tool, it gives you so much more that you can do as a solo artist on the stage. But I imagine also, I don't know, you probably have it down, but it seems like it would get sort of confusing at times.
Well, you know, when there's new material, certainly some of it gets to be a little bit of muscle memory, but new material really keeps me, lack of any better pun, on my toes here, and because there's a lot to think about when I'm, you know, it's an arrangement that things have to happen. I have to press this pedal and then this pedal and then this pedal, and it has to happen in 2 seconds worth of time. Otherwise, the arrangement doesn't happen the way that I envisioned it. Certainly something else will happen, and sometimes I can work through it. Sometimes you stop and start over. You know, if a pedal's not behaving properly, you know, sometimes that happens. You step on it and something doesn't take. So it really just, it's for me, it keeps my head in the game, and I still find it challenging, and I've got a lot of ideas that I haven't had the opportunity yet to explore on this. So this is just the beginning, I feel like, for me.
You mentioned to me earlier before we went on the air that you have also a drum project that you've been working on. What is that?
Yeah, that project is one, it's called Fiddlesticks, and the whole project's going to probably take about a year or maybe a little more. I did a Kickstarter campaign, crowdsourced, you know, and raised some funds for it. Thank you if anybody's listening that was part of supporting me for that. But what it is, it's a collaborative effort between me, myself, and drummers and percussionists. And what I do is I meet with one guy for about 2 days' time, just me and another guy. And I bring some ideas, they bring some ideas, we bring a whole bunch of toys, and we explore and we experiment and we collaborate and we, you know, we come with a semblance of a plan, but with the idea that we'll see what really happens when we get together. And I'm audio recording the whole thing, and I'm also video recording it as well, and we're doing little 15-minute documentary pieces on the creative process with me and the other drummers. I'm doing... interviewing them, putting out to do a podcast of basically just kind of us talking, you know, basically an interview, and just kind of see what happens to hear about the creative process, their background, and eventually a record will come out. And so far, I've done two different drummers. One is Kenny Malone, who was a mainstay in the Nashville country music scene, studio scene, really in the 70s and the 80s. He did a whole bunch of incredible work. Everybody has heard him more than you even realize. And so he and I got together, and there's a little piece out, a video piece and an audio piece out there that you can see in a podcast. And then got together with Future Man, the percussionist, the drummer, for Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. And we spent a couple days together, and that I'm working on. I've got one piece out now. We're working on getting the video put together for that. And then I'm meeting at the end of the month with world percussionist, jazz drummer named Jamie Haddad, and he's the percussionist for Paul Simon. So he and I got a day coming up, so I'm in the middle of you know, exploring material and planning for that. And then there'll be a couple more drummers, so it's called Fiddlesticks. Check it out if that sounds interesting to anybody.
Well, I have time, we have time for one more song if you feel like doing it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I would just say that this one was... developed. It was written a few years back, and then I didn't do much with it. I wasn't sure what to do with it, but it was written to the heartbeat of my daughter from before she was born. The ultrasound went in for hear the heartbeat for the first time, and I took in recording gear because I'm a music nerd, and came home with a little sample of my daughter's heartbeat, and I put that on my computer, let it play, you know, put that on a loop, and then I wrote a melody to it. And I didn't know what to do with the melody. It didn't have chords or anything, or bass line, but it, you know, an arrangement. And it sat there for a couple of years. And then it was during Hurricane Irene 2 years ago that I was stuck on the road with gigs canceled for 4 days at this hotel. So I took my stuff up to the hotel room and worked on, you know, looped the melody. And then I started to find how I wanted to develop it, and it turned into a piece that that I can loop. So that's the basis of it. But the, you know, if you've if anybody out there's been in for an ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, you know what it's like. But if you haven't, it had a kind of a swishy sort of, it was a lot faster than I expected. And I mention that because the heartbeat is still a part of the piece here, and I do it by doing this bowing that I had to figure out a way to emulate it. But you know, so there's where that's the heartbeat that is still in the piece here. So just to give you a little background on it, this is the Heartbeat Kid. Thank you.